Hello, everyone. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. I'm here with the lovely. You go in there. I'm here with the lovely.
Ashley.
Hey. And she's, of course, full of energy. And she's happy because she's full of a little bit of carbs, too. So the energy is a little bit better than it was.
That's true. I am full of carbs.
We're calling her the Carby Barbie right now.
Carby Barbie.
It's a limited edition.
I am overloaded with the carbs. They caught up to me. I was doing that carb load the last week. My body is not accustomed to these carbs. But anyway, it makes me feel good anyway. So, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy. And also, we got a great topic for you today. Ashley's the queen of the topic selections. And she got another good one for today. So what is that topic today, Ashley?
I think it would be very nice and helpful to talk about mental barriers. Why do we experience them? What kind of mental barriers do we have? And maybe how to overcome?
Yeah, I think that that's a really good one, because I think that really there's not anyone right now who's not struggling a little bit mentally. I think for the most part, with everything going on in the world, I don't know if you know this or not, but something's going on in the world, Ashley. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Wow.
I'll tell you about it off topic, off camera. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of things going on right now.
Okay.
So with that being said, not just that, but just prep in general. And like, I think that a lot of this, the mental thing comes down to like, what if you stuck with it, what would happen? And what if you didn't stick with it? What mm-hmm. happens then too? And I think that that's a big like driver for me, at least. And mm-hmm. Going into your story of everything that you've gone through too, to like with however many preps you've been through, I think we're up to 987 shows with, according to everyone else, a 99.98% win percentage.
Right. I wish.
I know, right? I guess I'll let you start off with this and kind of see where it goes.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of common mental barriers out there for people, such as like the fear of failing, or even just in general, lack of motivation, right? So these are all like things that are factoring into the decisions we make and how we prep and if we prep or not. And I think before we go into those, I want to kind of go over like my personal mental barriers that I have. And, we all kind of have different experiences in our lives that shift the way we think and how we think. But I think like my mental barriers aren't really, I wouldn't say barriers, but they're kind of distractions, right? So in the back of my mind, I'm always kind of thinking about these things. And, Adam, I get nightmares sometimes, right? Yeah. I get a lot of nightmares, especially right before show. The last show I did, I dreamt that since we were carb loading that week and I'm not used to that like one day I just woke up and didn't have any abs and it was the day of the show. And I was like, what did I do? And I'll have dreams that like, I eat a whole cake the night before a show and just ruin it, or that I miss my class, or that I'm late, or that I show up without a tan, stuff like that. So I definitely I think these are signs that like, I'm afraid to make a stupid mistake, right? I'm just afraid to make a stupid mistake, like sleeping through an alarm, or, forgetting to tan. I mean, obviously I wouldn't forget to tan, but other dreams that I have, or nightmares, I should say, are more reasonable and logical, like forgetting my shoes before a stage. So I guess one of my mental barriers is the fear of making a stupid mistake. Stupid. And again, not necessarily a barrier, but a distraction. I am always so concerned I'm going to make a stupid mistake. Okay. And sometimes I guess I have like an ongoing thing where it's like, everyone makes little mistakes here and there, but there are some mistakes that I make when I compete that I've done a few times. And now I consider those to be stupid because I should know by now. So that's like a fear of just doing something stupid and just totally like being so frustrated over a mistake that I should know by now. Some of those have to do with posing. I mean, for example, the back pose, I've gotten marked down so many shows for pushing too much because sometimes hamstrings are too developed. And it's like, that's a frustrating one for me because it's like, I should know by now. Just trying to gauge like the right amount of push versus standing up straight. So that's an example of an ongoing mistake that I make. And it's like a frustrating thing for me. So that's like one of my mental barriers, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so when I'm like thinking of mental barrier too, for like the average competitor and the average person like trying to get into the gym, I think like a lot of the things that you probably ran into too is, one of the things I really think is really important to talk about is like during this whole mental barrier thing is, I think more than anything, what drives me is the what if, like the what if I don't do it, you know, for me. And it's not so much like a mental barrier. It's just like a motivating factor of what happens if I don't do it, you know? And so that constant thing, when I see these guys, like these really big, really influential, like people, when I see like Joe Rogan, like Elon Musk and all these like guys that are like moving at 1,000 miles per hour, The Rock does it. And like, they're moving so fast and doing so much all the time. Like to me, I'm like, I know I do a lot. And you always say you do a lot. Like, I don't know, you should slow down type of thing. But I see them and I'm like, I'm not doing enough, you know, I'm not doing enough. And what if I just could have put more effort into something? What if, you know, what if I didn't compete, like type of thing? What if I didn't push it? Like, and I'm thinking as an athlete now, like competing sucks for some people, you know, getting there for a lot of people, it sucks. For a lot of people, they're like, they have to force themselves to do it, but they enjoy it even though they have to force themselves to do it. So it's kind of like this love hate relationship with prepping for shows. It sucks, but I love it. And I love the look of it, especially, but I'll do what it takes, but at times it sucks type of thing. And a lot of times people quit because the process is hard. You know, it is not an easy thing. You're not supposed to be really lean and really muscular at the same time. That's not how your body was designed. When you're really lean and really muscular, you're the most susceptible to running out of fat stores and using as much energy daily as possible when you don't have fat stores. So the body doesn't want to do that. So you start like doubting yourself and going to that place of maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe I shouldn't do that. But I ask the question to those guys is, what if, what happens if you don't do it? And also what happens if you do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Are you the next Ashley Kotwasser who's, you know, got 22 wins and Olympia titles and is living a totally different life? Like, can you imagine what your life would have been like if you would have quit the first time it got hard for a show?
Right.
I mean,
I'd be bored in Ohio.
It's crazy to think about but that's a real thing. And it's not just that's a real thing. I guarantee you it's happened to someone. Like there probably could have been someone, you know, there probably could have been someone sitting in your shoes that might've quit along the way. Like at least I could probably say at least one of the Olympians probably could have, like one of the Olympia champions probably could have had someone else beat them had that person not have given up, but we'll never know that person, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, what if that person is you? Like, what if, right? And so the mental barrier of getting past that point and you got to ask yourself, you know, what happens with my life if I get over this mental barrier? And I think that that's an important factor to consider, like when you're having those struggles. And that's what drives me all the time is, okay, I'm not doing enough. I hate even sleeping, you know, because I'm like, okay, I could be doing something, you know? And there's guys that are up at 3 a.m. getting shit done by the time mm-hmm. I wake up at 8, you know what I mean? And it's frustrating because I'm like, that guy's working harder than me based purely on my will, you know, mm-hmm. based purely on my desire to not work, to sleep being more important than me furthering myself.
Right.
And that guy's got a leg up on me, you know? And it's so I go through this battle, like a mental barrier for me my mental battle, I'll say my mental battle is clearly, and if you've been listening to this podcast, because I flip back and forth on it all the time, is like a work-life balance type of thing. Because mm-hmm. I always want to push. And then I get to the point where I'm like, damn, I'm doing a lot. It would be nice to just relax a little bit. And then I'll do it for like a week. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, screw this. I got to go more and more. So mm-hmm. like, that's my mental barrier, is that like perfect balance, which I don't think exists. Honestly, I just, right. I want it. Like, it's funny. I'm like, no, I'm going to slow down a little bit. It's going to be okay. And then I'm like now the prep center in Vegas is like almost done. And I'm like, let's go, like more and more and more, like, let's go. Like, and it's like, dang it, here we go again. And but I haven't ever been burnt out. I think I've needed like a couple days off, but the whole thing for me is like, what if you don't slow down at all? Like, are you going to accomplish something that you don't even see coming? Are you going to, there's a lot of different ways it can go. Am I going to have an early death because I stress myself out? Am I going to live to 90 and then have like all these nonprofit organizations helping kids? Am I going to be one of the guys that really has a positive effect on obesity, you know, or maybe the next Olympia champion, maybe I can have 3 Olympia champions or something. You know what I mean? What happens, you know, what happens? And that keeps me up. I'm like, there's no reason that whatever coach has had this much success and I can't, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So like, and it's the same thing as a competitor. I think they need to, you could say to yourself, okay, what's different about Ashley than me? Why does she have this success and why don't I? And the answer to that, when you break it down, is pretty much nothing. There's really no difference besides a prolonged, sustained daily effort to be the best, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, if you can get past that mental barrier, then you might accomplish something that even you didn't think was possible for yourself, which I think is like the biggest thing people need to think about.
Right.
And one of the things I think about, and I'm going off on a tangent here, it's one of my motivational speeches, but one of the things I think about when people are like giving in, like what really sucks when I see it as a coach, I'm not the guy that's going to be like, I'm not going to be your motivator, like, and be like, here, you can do it. Yeah. Like, I think that you need to get that from within. I had a girl ask me that question the other day. She's like, what kind of support do you have for motivation and mental barriers and whatever, right? She asked me that through email. I said, hey, I'm emailing you. Like, if an email is that says, hey, go get it, is enough for you, then you're not lacking motivation.
Right.
If you, one, that needs to come from within. I'm not going to be your external source of motivation. Yeah, getting a little bit here and there and getting those positive words of encouragement is helpful, but motivation has to come from within. You're not going to get it from an email from your coach or a video that I send back to your coach. Mm-hmm. Like if that's your thing and you're looking for that external motivation, then you need to find something. You need to really look at yourself and be like, why am I not motivated? Like, why am I looking for external motivation and external feedback to be like, to be, you know, my best? That's not what it should take. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with like, you know, Instagram and likes and this and that too, that whole external thing, but that's a whole nother topic. But here's the thing that I fear as a coach: when someone gives in the first time, I know it's already done. Like, career-wise, for a lot of people, that first time you give in, that's it. And people don't get that. And they're like, no, it's just one show. And I'm like, no, you showed weakness to yourself. You showed that you can give in. And as soon as you turn that mechanism on, it's hard to turn off because you can always go back there. And I always use this like this thing as like a boxer. And I think I've said it before, as like boxers. There's boxers, and it's like, you know, in my old neighborhood, we all boxed, you know. It was like boxing was like a thing, you know. It's just like, it's a Hispanic neighborhood. There's boxing gyms that are open to the public and everyone goes in boxes. That's just how it was. And there's this thing, you'll have like these toughest, like they call them like Mexican warriors, right? You have these Mexicans are known just in boxing world to be just like really tough individuals, just for their heart. Skill set, not as much, but their heart is just like crazy. So you'll have these guys and they think they're it's weird. They all think they're the best in the world. They think it. And it's so cool to see it because they believe it. And it's like, they feel like they're, how do I say it? Immortal almost. Like, it's like this immortal thought that they have from within. And then you're like, that guy's got the heart. And then they run into someone who's tougher than them. And they've never ran into someone who's tougher than them before. So they get this like awakening of, holy shit, I'm not immortal, right? And then you'll start seeing it in the fight. And this is usually like later on in their career. It's usually like, you know, 10 fights in or so. And then they've been undefeated their whole career. And then they start running into this guy that's tougher than them. And they're like, dude, I'm jabbing, I'm dodging, I'm this, I'm still getting hit. Like, I'm not fast enough. This guy hits harder than me. And then you start seeing this thing happen in their, like in their face. They start like not believing in themselves. And then all of a sudden they go down. Maybe the guy knocked them out, but a lot of times they go down and they could get back up and they don't get back up. And they kind of like try to convince the world that they're just hurt because they've given in. And as soon as that happens, as soon as they hit that switch, and they don't get back up when they can get back up, they're never the same again. And it's just literally an hour before, for four or five years, these guys were thinking they were immortal. They believed in themselves and they had like this ultimate belief that they were the best and they're going to be the next best in the world. And then all of a sudden it's gone like that. And then someone just steals their dreams and then they don't get it back. And then the next time they fight, they have that go-to again. Before, they would have never quit in their life. But now, because they quit once, they can quit so much easier the second time. And then so much easier the third time. And usually their careers are done after they give in that one time because there's some, they just know they can go there again. And that happens with contest prep too. You know, when it gets hard and you quit and you're just like, no, I'm just not going to go through with this show. It's just too hard. There's, you know, it's because my kid or because my wife is mad or because I have to focus on work or whatever. Like there's never going to be an easy time in fitness. Fitness is freaking inconvenient. Like if you're looking for a convenient time in fitness, keep looking. Sorry. It's just not for you because there's never, it just takes too long. You know, if fitness was a day, yeah, you can time it out where there's like a convenient time. But when fitness is like years, you know, yeah, there's going to be weddings, holidays, things are going to come up. Your life is going to go through ups and downs and you're going to have to get over some shit to finish this goal. And if you quit, it's going to be so much easier for you to quit the next time. So I just say, take those words in because it is so important that you follow through on what you promise yourself you're going to do. And if you follow through on what you promise yourself going to do, and you never lie to yourself, then you might end up being the next Ashley, you know, you might end up being the next Phil Heath. Like, and I feel like that's the important thing to talk about, the what if, you know, the what if, it's so important. So anyway, I think I went off another one of my tangents, but I feel like that's important, right?
Yeah. No, those are all good things that you said. And I totally agree. It's like the woulda, coulda, shouldas, they will forever haunt you. So, you know, you just got to give it your all every single day. You know, it's so weird for me to even talk about this next one that I really deal with a lot. And it's like, because I feel like very few people can relate to this particular, I don't know, circumstance. But let me just preface by saying that I wouldn't change winning the Olympia three times for anything in the whole wide world. It was the best experience and it's something that I'm so proud of, more proud than anything else in my entire life. It's the happiest moments of my life. But one negative side effect of that is I will forever deal with the burden of expectation, which means that there's a lot of pressure on me, I feel like, to perform well every single time because of my prior wins and success. And I think like a lot of people assume that like if I don't get first place in anything, it's a complete failure, right? Like people have that thought that like if she doesn't win, it's like horrible. It's just she failed, you know? And that's not necessarily the case, or that's not how I think of it anyway. I do realize that the sport has gotten a lot tougher. The competition is deeper. There's more girls competing at the Olympia now than ever. And we're getting girls from all over the world. But in general, the sport has evolved. And it's not necessarily that I got worse. It's just that everyone else got better. And, you know, so it's not like I can easily win anything these days. And I am going into each and every show with the mentality that, like, I realize that it's kind of not in my hands. And there is no such thing as an easy show, or there's no such thing as a small show. But as long as I know that I gave it my all and I didn't make a stupid mistake, I'll be happy, you know? And I just like to see like improvements on myself. It's just, I guess like I have two feelings that I just hate more than anything. And that's like, I never want to disappoint anyone. I hate that feeling. Like that's the worst feeling, is like trying to like, or is disappointing someone. And the other feeling that I absolutely hate is people feeling sorry for me. So yeah. I kind of get a mixture of both of those feelings and emotions You know, that's why it kind of like weighs heavy on my mind constantly. I don't want to disappoint my sponsors. I don't want to disappoint you, Adam. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily get disappointed unless I make a stupid mistake, right? Or I just, you know, I didn't do my best, but I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to disappoint my sponsors and like people that are following me. I know like people that follow me kind of live vicariously through me because they want to see me like compete and do well. And, you know, and then I kind of just feel like all the time, like if I don't perform like to their expectations, it's kind of like I get the pity messages, the pity texts, like, oh my gosh, Ashley, I'm so sorry. Like, you must be devastated right now. Keep your head high and keep pushing. Like, although those kind of statements are meant well, right? It kind of is like, I wasn't disappointed until you told me not to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Until you kind of felt sorry for me. And then now I am sad. Like, you know, it kind of sucks because, for example, when I was, you know, competing and I was a rookie and I didn't really have a name, and I, you know, no one had expectations for me, right? I would go into a show and like, if I got third or whatever, that was like, oh my God, I got third. Oh my gosh, I did so good. I'm so proud of myself. I am so happy. And everyone else was happy, right? They're like, yeah, Ashley, go Ashley, you did amazing. And not that I, you know, need people to like hype me up like that. That's not what I'm saying. But there's definitely a big difference now that like, let's say now I got third at a show. I'm proud of myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't care what my placing is, but dang, I made improvements. I did this better. I'm so happy for myself. I gave it my all. I did all I could do, but I got third, right? And then people will be like, oh my God, Ashley, I'm so sorry. Like that sucks. Like, keep pushing and keep that head held high. Okay. I know you're probably so sad right now. I know you're disappointed. I know you're expecting to win, but just maybe next time. It's like, I don't know. That kind of gets to me. Does that make sense? Like yeah. Just the pressure. I have a lot of pressure. And that's why, well, one of the reasons why I took the whole year of 2017 off is like a lot of pressure. Just if I'm anything less than perfect, it's a failure. And that's not the way I think, but it just kind of eats at you and gets to you whenever people around you are kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you know? Yeah. And I just don't want to disappoint. I hate disappointing people. I don't want to, you know, that's like one of my biggest fears is like disappointing people. So I don't know. That's just kind of like one of the mental things that kind of weighs heavy on my mind all the time. And to be honest, it kind of like, even like before a show, I always have to think of that too. It's like, well, you know, I look amazing. I think, you know, I made improvements. I'm super happy with my physique. But if I don't, you know, I come into this realizing that even if I don't get first, I might disappoint. And it just kind of sucks to have that mentality. Cause it's like, it weighs heavy on me sometimes. I just don't want to disappoint.
Well, no matter what you do, you never disappoint me. So just so you know, but what's funny, I think what's good that you said about that is, it's funny is because our favorite look that you've had this year is the only show you didn't win.
Yeah, exactly. And I was so, you were there with me. I was so hyped. I was like, oh my God, look at these pics. Oh my God. Like, oh my God, my hamstring be popping. I was so like excited for myself. And it's just like, I did get, you know, a few messages after like the whole, just keep your head high, Ashley. I know it's not what you wanted, but maybe next time, like, I'm happy, like chill, like
And that was
like, man, I'm happy. Don't ruin my happiness.
Yeah, that was definitely like an apples and oranges scenario of like, did you like the softer or do you like the harder, more athletic? Like, look, it was just kind of that's just bikini. Yes. And that's the thing about it too, is like that's the sport you choose to play. It's gonna have its ups and downs. The that's a unique one because it's probably very unique to you with feeling that pressure. You know,
not a lot of people. Very few people can relate to that.
Yeah,
but it's, and I think like it's the pressure to be perfect. And then like, if you don't, it's like, you're disappointing. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a real, and I can see, I see it how people are too. Cause people tell me that too, when you compete, if you don't win. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like it's bikini.
Bikini, man, who knows One day you get third place, and the next week you get first, and the next week you get sixth. You just gotta learn from it and just improve and just realize it's subjective. It's a subjective sport, and that's a lot of the people's opinion goes into the judging, right? What is too hard? What is too soft? What is too muscular? You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of opinion based, since we can't necessarily measure it.
Yeah. I think, well, I hope that that's something that you can get past too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a tough one to have. That's a hard one to just say, like, hey, you know what? Just don't worry. Because that's what people are going to say. They're going to say, hey, don't worry about it. Just worry about it. Do you. But it's hard to, like, when you're in your shoes.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of other people that are kind of depending on, like, they watch you, the sponsors want you to do good for their products. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So I could see how that pressure can add up, you know? I do think for, like, what other people can take from it, from that, is the external, and I'm not saying that you have this, but a lot of people do have this. A lot of people have that, like, external validation and that external awareness of their, like, social media and whatnot. And, like, if they don't get enough likes, they're upset, or if they don't get, they're worried about saying the wrong thing because it's social media. And I think that that's like a prison, you know? And I think even, like, we're, like, told how to act. We're, like, by people, right? It's like, we're basically told, oh, you can't say that. Or you know, you're, like, hesitant on typing what you want to type about yourself. Like, and I'll tell you this, like, I go through that a little bit. And there was, like, a point of my life where I went through it a lot. And then eventually I just got to the point, because and you learn it, you learn it, and not because you really want to, because you kind of have to. Like, when you start growing, especially if you're a trainer, like, as an athlete too, you went through it recently, you know, but as a trainer, you get a lot of hate when you're growing. Like, when you're small, when you're a small time coach, everyone's, like, in your corner, and everyone's like, yeah, man, I saw you at the show. You got a good little team going, man. Good for you. You had, like, what'd you have? Like, five people at the show?
Oh, right? The backhanded compliments.
Yeah. Good for you, man. You're growing, right? And these are the same guys that now that, like, you know, I can show up to a show and we can have 20 people with five coaches there at the show and everyone's rocking around. The same guys that were, like, kind of giving me, like, a good job are the guys that are, like, talking smack now at the show, because we've grown, you know, I've been doing this 20 years.
Yeah.
And so the same guys that used to do that, that only have, you know, maybe they have, like, eight people at the show and they were bigger, are the same guys that are talking smack. And they're making up rumors and they're this and that. And so you kind of got to get to the point where you're like, because I get a lot of smack talked about me. So it's funny. I hear the craziest things. And I just ignore it at this point, because you have no choice. At a certain point, you have no choice. But you just have to think, you know, that I always say myself the saying, those that mind don't matter, and those that matter don't mind. Right. And it really is the people who are just staying still, getting pissed at the people who are moving forward. And so because of that, all the hate that I've gotten from that, I just really stopped caring about what people think, you know? And it's such a freeing, like, I can't explain to you how free it is to feel that way. You know, it's like, I'm just free, you know? And, like, and now that I'm in Vegas only, and I'm selling everything in Denver, like, I'm financially free now. I don't have to worry about saying the right thing for, like, business reasons and money reasons. I can go out of business and be perfectly fine now. Right. So it's like, so I truly just don't give a shit anymore what people think. And it's such a freeing, like, I can't even explain to you. Like, I know guys are going to talk smack. I don't care. Like, I look at it, I'm like, you're going to talk smack. You're going to have your opinions. You're going to make things up, but I'm just going to talk on stage. And if you can beat me there, then good for you. And I'm going to say, good job. Like, I'm never going to say, hey, I'm going to say, hey, you got me, man. Good for you, bro. But it's not going to be easy next time, and I'm gonna work harder. Right. But it's such a, and I think that people can take that lesson, like, as you're growing, because it's going to happen. You might do your first show and everyone's like, oh, good job. You won. Yeah, you won your class, and you didn't win the overall, but then you win, like, an overall auto show, and then you win another overall auto show. And they're like, why is she still doing local shows? She shouldn't be doing local shows anymore. She should be doing national. She already won an overall. She's already qualified to go to the nationals, right? That's how it happens at the local level. And if you guys saw what happened to Ashley, it happens at the pro level too, you know? But, like, it happens a lot at the local level. We're like, why is she still doing national? Why is she doing local shows? And, like, I'll even have girls, like, get mad at me for putting my girls in local shows after they've won an overall. Oh, he's just trying to rack up points and, like, dominate locally. He should be sending her net and net. Like, he's just trying to trophy hunt or whatever, right? And I'm like, no, what about the fact that her body is good, but her posing sucks. You know, she needs work on her posing, her stage presence. She's got no idea what she's doing up there, but her body was good enough to offset that at a small show. She needs practice. Yeah. So like, there's always reasons for it. Or maybe she just doesn't even want to go pro. She just wants to have fun with this. Like that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. You know? So like, people are always going to find a reason to hate. And when you're coming up, like, don't let them get you down. That's a big barrier for people. Like, what should I say? What should I post? What, oh, this one didn't get enough likes. I'm going to take it down. Like things like that. Like, dude, just do, like, if you can get to that point where you truly don't give a shit, like, it's literally like someone let you out of jail. And it's like, you're like, I'm just free. Like, I just don't care what you think. And it's such a nice thing. So it's hard for you because you're dependent on like the sponsors liking, like having that pressure. But I don't think that they put that pressure on you. I think it's you put that pressure on you.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I think a lot of it is kind of in my mind, but I just like, yeah, I would rather be hated on by people I don't know and don't care about than like disappointing the ones that like I do know and I do care about. But I think that's just like a thing for me. It's just, I just never want to disappoint. It's a fear for me. It's just, I don't want to disappoint. I don't want to like people, and I never want people to feel bad for me. So that's like my two things that like really get to me, I noticed. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I mean, with the sponsors too, it's, of course they're not going to, you know, necessarily get that disappointed. They don't really, you know, it's not like they're, you know, I'm going to ruin their day if I don't win, but it's just like always in the back of my mind. Like, you know, I'm trying to do a good job for them and, you know, they're good to me. So I want to show that I'm worth it. You know, that's like the thing is like, I want to show I'm worth it. I want to prove to them that like, I'm a good choice, I guess, for their brand or whatnot. And like, I think for you too, I'm afraid of disappointing you ever, because I know you put so much work into like prepping me and you train me a lot. That's why I always say, like, when I am in Denver and you're training me, I work extra hard because I'm like, I don't want to waste your time. Mm-mm. You know, well, so I just did. I guess that's the thing, because I know how much work and effort and emotion you put into my prep. So I never want to like be a disappointment or, you know, I don't think that will happen unless I do something. I think I can disappoint you though if I do something stupid.
You'd have to do something really stupid.
I'm not that stupid, but
that's just not you. Yeah.
Choice.
That's just not you, you know. That's just not how you function, you know. Like the two takes from that are, one, well, what's really cool is when I'm in Vegas, when I don't, now it's not like a huge, like, right, I'm just down the street. And then two, so it's not like so much extra time. And then two is, you know, I think that if you don't have haters, you're not doing enough. You know, you're playing it too safe. You're not doing enough, and honestly, you're probably not going to get anywhere. Like, that's just the reality of things. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing something to the point where it's pissing someone off, you're probably not going to get to where you want to get. No one ever got to the top of anything without pissing someone off. Like, because that's someone else's dream that you're having to steal, that you're having to outwork to take from them, right? Because believe me, Ashley getting three Olympias, that was a lot of dreams stolen from someone else, but it's because Ashley outworked them that way. You talk to anyone that was second through really 20th place at the Olympia, they wanted that slot, you know, like that's just how it is. So like, you're gonna ruffle feathers. No one, everyone's gonna be happy for the, like, be like, say, hey, oh yeah, well, you know what? I'm happy for her. Of course you're happy for her because you're a good sport. But the reality is you wanted that title. There's no way you wouldn't be playing it if you didn't want it. So you're gonna piss some people off if you're getting to where you wanna get. If you wanna be one of the best trainers in the world, and you're getting to a place other trainers aren't getting and they want to get there, yeah, they're gonna be pissed off about it. Like, the problem is they're gonna look, a lot of times, this is the loser mentality, right? The loser mentality is they'll look at the trainer as the reason, as the fault. Oh, it's because he's got this and he's got this and he trains Ashley and he's got whatever, like people make up the craziest stuff. He's got, had money from family or whatever, which I don't. And like, he's able to build these things because of it. And like, there's like, that's not the real, the reality is this, I outworked you and I'm going to continue to outwork you. And if you got a problem with that, then the option for you to outwork me is there. It's not easy, but it's there. Same with Ashley. If you don't like her winning, you have the option of outworking her. That's an option that's available to you. And if you're not willing to do it, then so be it. That's on you. You know, it's not on Ashley to work less and do less shows, whatever. Right. And that's the same thing that goes for anyone who's done anything great in the world, they've gotten over the mental barriers and they've decided to outwork everyone else doing it. You know, if it was like, here's the problem is that people are like, oh, I'm working hard. Well, are you working hard enough? Like, are you working like harder than you worked last time? That's what matters. Because when there used to be 10 people competing on a bikini stage, it was a lot easier to work the hardest. Mm-hmm. Now there's 50 people competing on a bikini stage. Now working the hardest is a lot harder than it was before.
Yeah.
So now are you willing to work the hardest, right? Mm-hmm. Now there's a lot more coaches doing what I do, right? There's a lot more people doing online prep. Everyone who does a show has in their Instagram DM for fitness plans, right? Are you willing to work the hardest? That's mm-hmm. the difference. I am. I'll die working. If it takes me like sleeping less and figuring out a way to like take a medication to sleep faster, I will to do this. And that's the thing. The difference is I'm willing to go as hard as I possibly can to the point where I hopefully don't drive myself insane just to be the best. It's money's not an issue anymore. I don't care about that. It's literally just to be the best. I'm lucky at this point. I've done a lot of good moves where the money doesn't drive me anymore. But being the best drives me. Losing a show, like, it gets under my skin so much. And it's not like with a pro level, like Ashley, because that's a lot harder. But like the local stuff where I know I can dominate, and the national stuff where I know I can dominate, like if I'm getting beat there, oh my gosh, you have no idea what it does to me. It, like, sometimes I'll take a, like, I'll have to work from home because I don't want to create a bad mood in the office, like on a Monday, if we do bad at a show. And I like, because I was like, okay, I just don't be a total, like, don't be a total Gordon Ramsay when you walk in the office. Yes, because whoever didn't look 100%, they could have looked better. Like, it just keeps me up. Like Sundays after shows, especially like if it's like, if we got like a second or third place and I'm like, why did that happen? I like look through the plans of like the athletes and I look back at their weeks of check-ins and I'm like, where did we mess this up? You know? And a lot of times it's, you know, it's just the other girl worked harder or structurally was better or whatever. But there's always like, I'm always like, we could have done more, and it drives me crazy, you know? So I guess it's just like that persistence of pursuing perfection, right?
Yeah, I think that's even harder for you than it is for me, because there's two kind of hurdles you have to go through. One, first off, it's out of your control, because again, it's a subjective sport. So we both share that, right?
Yeah.
But your second barrier is that not only is it a subjective sport, but it's not you competing. It's like your little soldiers competing. So at the end of the day, I mean, you can give them the best plans and the best training out there, but if they do something incorrectly or they make a mistake, it's kind of like way more out of your hands than if you were competing yourself. Cause it's like, at the end of the day, they're their own person and they make the decisions and you're not there with them 24/7. So you don't know. So
it's hard, you know, it's definitely hard on this side when you're as competitive as I am, you know, and it's really hard to compete through people. Right. Cause but you don't get here unless you're as competitive as I am. That's just the way it is. Like you have to be. What's funny is that, and congrats, actually, I got to throw congrats out to Renee and Holly, who got their pro card last weekend. So congrats to them. Yeah. That's from our team. So that was some good bikini wins. But you know, I was hearing this thing about like ego and thinking you're the best and all this stuff. And like, it was cool. It was like I forget who was talking about it. It was on a podcast. You know, what's funny is I didn't really listen to any podcast until we did our podcast. And now I like listen to podcasts to like get better and get tips and like learn at subjects and stuff. But I was listening to a podcast and it was talking about like the ego of the guys that are the best. And it's like, and it's something that we're told like not to do, like not to have an ego and not think you're the best and like be humble and all this stuff. But the guys who are the best, like they don't really think that way. They think they're the best. And the most of them are, they might not say it. Some of them do though. And like, but that's the reality is they would go back to the boxer who thought he was the best, who was doing good until he gave in. I think that it's a good thing, you know, like, and just to like really think that you're the best. And like, one of the things that I've always, like, I used to teach trainer classes to coaches and stuff for 24 Hour Fitness. And I've had over 100 trainers under me, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, actually at 19 years old, I had like 17 trainers under me at one point, like just directly under me. And so like one of the things that I always told all the coaches is like, if you don't think you're the best, like if you don't think you're the solution to someone's problems where they can't get to their goal, if you don't truly believe that, that you can create the best nutrition plans, the best workout plan, the best everything for this person, then you're stealing from them anyway. You should absolutely think you're the best trainer in the room. Like you should, and if you don't, you should be studying to think that, to figure out how to do that, because that's the disservice to your client if you don't believe that, because that means you're not doing something right. If you think for a second you're not the best, you're not putting out the best plans, how wrong is that to sell that to someone, right? So like, I think I'm the best at what I do. I don't think anyone could be better. I think many people can be as good if they're just as researched. I don't think that there's ever going to be clear who's the best, but yeah, I'm researched. I think my stuff is the best right now with the current science. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. And I'm not going to be holding that back anymore. You know, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm trying to be the best. I think I'm getting closer. And I think, but my plans right now are, I think that they're there, you know? So, and I think every trainer who's like out there, who's like, oh, he shouldn't say that. Like, you should be saying the same shit. You should think that, or else you shouldn't be selling plans yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, your client deserves, is to walk in and be like, okay, I'm buying the best plan. And you should be the confident in that too. And I think that goes to athletes too. There's nothing wrong with thinking that. Like, there's nothing wrong with thinking that you're the shit, you know? Like, we're in this whole like weird world now where like people are told to like reserve it and be humble and be aware of other people's feelings and almost like castrate men to the point where they can't have this like be like men. Oh, like the other day when someone was like, oh, he's like mansplaining. I'm like, why is that? Because it's a woman? Like, that's why? That doesn't make any sense. He's just doing the same thing he would to a guy, but it's a guy to a girl, but now he's like man. Like, where did this term come from, right? Like, no, like, it's okay to think you're the shit. You know what? And I'm just going to be like, I'm not going to hold back anymore on this stuff. And I'm just going to talk how I want to talk, you know? And I do think I'm the shit and I'm fucking proud of it, you know? And so, and this kind of, that's it. It is what it is. And I think there's other people that are the shit too. I think Kimoto is the shit. I think Zero Gravity Ryan's the shit. I think, you know, Paul is the shit. I think there's a lot of guys that are awesome out there and there's nothing wrong with it. And I hope they think that too. And I think they do. They're just more reserved than I am. But now I'm just not going to be like, I'm just so sick of it, to be honest, of like people like telling you, the way you got to act and the way that you got to talk. And I think that it holds people back. I really do. I think that that's a barrier in itself. Mm-hmm. And I think that you being aware and cautious and not trying to ruffle feathers and not, it keeps you from being 100% the way you want to be. If I was afraid of ruffling feathers, I wouldn't be here at all. I pissed so many people off getting here, but you know what? I earned it. And I earned that. I earned them being pissed off at me too. If you're pissed off, that means you're not doing enough and I'm going to keep doing it. So get ready, especially you in Vegas. I'm coming, man. And I'm not holding back. I'm not holding back at all. I'm coming with utter intentions to dominate Las Vegas. I'm just putting that out there right now. And I hope someone stops me. I hope someone is out there and is like, you know what, Adam, bring it on, bring on that challenge. And I would love that competition, you know, and I'm not going to apologize for it anymore. I'm not going to be reserved about it. And I think that everyone out there needs to like hear this like little rant right now. And be like, you know what? I should believe in myself more. Like, I should get over those mental barriers. I should stop worrying about what people think I should do. I should stop worrying that my boyfriend doesn't like it when I'm eating prep food all the time, because this is what I want to do. You know, yeah, I work too much, but this is what I want to do. It makes me happy. Yeah, I push too hard and I'm too aggressive with this whole contest prep stuff, but it makes me happy and that's how I want to do it. You don't get to choose how I do this, right? Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say I want to come in and conquer an area and dominate like I did Vegas, like I did Denver. But I dominated Denver. No one's going to say I didn't. So you should do the same thing. You should say, hey, I want to dominate the stage. I want to be the best. I am the best. And I'm going to start convincing. As soon as you start believing that, shit's going to happen for you, man. It's going to happen. And so I encourage all of you to be a little bit more egotistical and if you start thinking you're good, don't hold back in believing you're good. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's such an important thing that we're all told not to do these days. And, I'm done with it, man.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of people, one of their mental barriers is like the opinions of others, which I guess I am guilty of that because I'm afraid, you know, to disappoint. But I guess in another sense is like when you do hear like the boyfriend like saying, oh, you're looking too lean, you're looking too skinny, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be doing this. Why are you doing this for a trophy? Like stuff like that can definitely get to people's heads. And I think we just need to kind of just block that out and focus on what makes you happy, regardless of how it makes the other people feel, because you can't just tiptoe around everyone all the time. It's just, you know, you got to do something for you. Yeah. And if that makes them mad, oh, well, you know, they should be happy that you're happy and you're doing something positive for yourself. And it's like, it's okay to be selfish. I think, you know, it's so funny. I'm selfish.
Good for you, Ashley.
You know, that's why I don't want kids. That's why I don't have pets. I'm selfish with my time. You know,
we're both selfish with kids.
My way. Like if somebody told me, like, you got to stop competing or I'm going to break up with you. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. That would be see you later. I know I do what I want. You know, I do what I want.
Yeah. You know what?
it's I think some people just try to, you know, accommodate way too much to the other people out there, and in turn they're missing out on opportunities or things that make them happy. And if the people around them aren't happy for them, time to find new people. Like, you don't need to be like the person with the most friends. To have the people, just have the people that truly care about you and support you around you, you know. So yeah. No, that's why I don't got too many friends.
Well, that was fun. I'm glad that was a good one. I'm having fun with that. Is there anything else we need to cover? Or just listen?
You know, I think it's important to land on one more mental barrier that's common. And I think a lot of people do underestimate their capabilities a lot.
Yes.
And sometimes maybe somebody out there is like thinking about competing, but then they're like, oh, but I can never look like that because my genetics or because my work schedule, I can't do it. But if they really found a way to make it work, like, what do they say? You know, don't find excuses, make solutions.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to, if something means so much to you and you want to do something, you'll find a way to make it work. But don't underestimate what you're capable of doing if you haven't even tried yet. You gotta try. And you might be surprised at yourself. I know I surprised myself so many times of what I'm capable of. I'm still going. What the heck? I've been prepping since like 1932, Adam. What the heck? but yeah, it's crazy what more we are capable of if we kind of allow ourselves to, you know, work hard and just allow that opportunity to come through or that possibility, you know, just don't shut off your dreams so easily.
Yeah, I think that the mental thing and the mental barrier is so real. And I want to piggyback that and go off of another. I'm on a motivational tangent, I think, or maybe I'm just on a tangent. I don't know if it's going to rub people the right way, but I don't care. So but this is a good one.
If you lose all your friends, you'll stop me.
I know I have, you're my only friend anyway. So I'm just going to worry about you, bro. So, there's this story, and it's actually, I'm stealing this. Just so you guys know, I'm stealing this from someone who said this story. So I forget who it was. But they said it in it was a motivational speaker. It was really cool. It really like spoke to me. And I told it to Tori one time too. But it's called it was a 4 minute mile, 4 minute mile. So have you heard that whole thing about the 4 minute mile? I'm sure you've heard it. Make sure it's a 5 minute mile. One second. I'm looking it up. Was it because it was 5 minute or 4 minute? Okay. Whatever it was. What's the, is it 4 minute miles like a thing, right?
Yeah, that's like, okay. 5 minute mile is like high school.
Okay, cool then, that's what it was. It was 4 minutes then. Okay, so it was, I was wanting to make sure I get the time right. And it was, so it was, this motivational speaker was talking about the 4 minute mile. And he was saying, you know, for years and years, the mile has been a run that they've done in the Olympics for just years and years and years. And no one ever thought that it was within human capability of doing a 4 minute mile, of doing a sub 4 minute mile. Everyone thought it was impossible for years and years and years. So because people thought it was impossible, no one ever accomplished it. And then somewhere in the 50s during the Olympics, someone ran a sub 4 minute mile and the world went nuts, right? He did it. He ran a 4 minute mile. It was impossible. No one can do it, right? But this guy did it and he was so special, right? As soon as he hit the 4 minute mile. So you remember, for years and years and years, hundreds of people have tried to hit this 4 minute mile, but they didn't believe it was humanly possible. Mm-hmm. As soon as someone did it once, all of a sudden, thousands of people since then have done it now. So yeah. All of a sudden, you have an entire population, the entire world cannot do a 4-minute mile. And then now all of a sudden, even high school students have done it, which is crazy. So like, wait a minute, Olympic athletes for 100 years couldn't do the 4-minute mile, but all of a sudden one guy showed you could do it. And now all of a sudden it's just easy, right? I mean, not easy, but doable, right? So the difference is belief. That's it. Nothing changed. Humans didn't evolve to run faster. If anything, we've evolved to run slower. You know, more technology has been invented, worse foods available. Everyone's fatter, right? Like, if anything, we're evolving in the opposite direction. We were definitely, as a species, like more primed to run, you know, 50 years ago, right? Than now, but we've gotten better. Technology's gotten better, whatever. But as far as like a mass of the human species, we were in better shape back then. So yeah, nothing's changed besides we saw it was possible, right? And now that's like a standard, right? Now it's like, okay, that's a standard. So like, what if instead of it was a 4-minute mile, everyone out there who's competing looked at Phil Heath, looked at Ashley Kottwasser, looked at Brandon Hendrickson and even Jeremy Buendia, and was like, hey, if he could do a 4-minute mile, right? If he could win the Olympia, why can't I? Why is that not the same? Right. Why does it seem so other, seem so impossible, because it's just a different sport, right? It's just because someone running, you can do it, right? I can run a 4-minute mile, that guy can run a 4-minute mile, but if you see Ashley win 22 pro shows, you're like, oh, I can't do that. There's no way. No, it's the same thing. It's just a human. It's just a human doing exceptional things because of exceptional effort. So I encourage all of you to start, like, stop letting those mental barriers get in the way and realize that all these people who are great that you look up to are regular people doing a lot with their lives because of an exceptional effort. You know, when you go home and you're watching Netflix for 4 hours a day, guess what? I'm working, you know? When you're like being the comfort and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go party this weekend, get off work, whatever. I'm working. Ashley's working. Ashley's working out. Okay. When you're thinking and doing other things, I'm working. Ashley's working, doing other things. Like, that's the difference. It's work harder, believe in yourself, and you'll get there. But these little things, these distractions and technology and you thinking that you're not as great as you are, I'll promise you this. There's this saying that goes, there's two men, one believed he couldn't, and one believed he could, and they were both right. And I think that goes into a lot of this whole thing of like, where is your greatness? Like, unleash your greatness that wants to get out. Water that seed, man. Don't let anything keep you from watering that seed. If people are a negative in your life, get rid of them, you know? Like, I mean, you guys, if you've listened to this podcast, I haven't talked to my dad in years. And that was the best thing I did for myself, because that was like a negative influence. That was a negative in my life. Everyone's like, oh, it's your dad. You should try. And I'm like, you know what? If you knew him, you would understand that was a cancer for me, an early death for me, a stress for me that was going to take years off my life. And it was the best thing. It was hard. It was the hardest thing I had to do. I mean, it's been like a decade at this point, but like, it's hard, but it was worth, it was for my own mental health, me to get past the next level. If I could do something like that to make me better at what I'm doing and make my circle full of positivity, you can block someone on Instagram leaving negative comments on your stuff. Like, you can lose that follower. That's okay if your follower count goes down by 50 because you get rid of your negative stuff. Anyone who leaves negative stuff on my page now, instantly blocked. I don't care. I'm not going to let any negativity in my life. So, and I don't apologize for that. You know, it's funny when they'll come up to you, hey, yeah, you blocked me. Well, you should have, you probably said something stupid, and that's the reason I'm not going
to.
Yeah, that's a permanent thing, bro. That is not going away. I don't care. Create a fake account, watch it, and don't say anything negative. I won't block that one again. But zero negativity is allowed in my life. And so, and that I think is an important thing for everyone too. Like, I'm not going to let doubt in my life. I'm not going to let negativity in my life. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to truly start getting to the point eventually where I think I'm the best. And I think I'm pretty damn good right now. So anyway, take that for what it is. Adam's on a tangent today.
Yeah,
had too much Coke Zero. All right. So I guess with that, we'll leave you. Yes?
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to catch up with us on our other social medias at Team Elite Physique on Instagram and at Ashley K Fit on the gram as well. And we're going to do some Road to Olympia stuff too. Ooh, I want to put that out there. So yeah. If you guys want to see what goes into like our Olympia prep journey, we will be documenting that on our YouTube channel, or at least I will anyway. I don't know if you are, but I am.
I'll be so documenting. Ashley Collins
on YouTube and Team Elite Physique on YouTube as well.
Yes, thank you so much, guys, for listening and for your support. And the best way to support us, honestly, is just share this with anyone. We love getting tags on Instagram when you guys share it. We appreciate it. It's kind of grown into this whole thing that we didn't expect. And we're going to be doing it really professionally, really, really soon. So just hang in tough. The sound's going to get significantly better.
Because everyone complains that my voice is annoying.
You know what it is? Here's the problem. We figured it out. So we had an equalizer when we were in person. We had an equalizer, like figure it out. And the normal is 5. Ashley's at an 8 and I'm at a 3. So because we're so different, like the volumes when we're on the same mic is like one's high and one's low. And then Ashley always gets the blame. I never get the blame for being too low, but you always get the blame for being too high.
Because everyone turns up their thing to hear me and then they go, yeah. Or it turns up to hear you. And then whenever they turn it up to hear you, it makes my voice like extra, really, but that's okay, whatever. I like to be loud. What's up?
She doesn't apologize, but we are going to get a better system very soon. So hang tough, probably like 6 more episodes, maybe even less. Trying to come up with a solution for it now that we're both kind of almost in Vegas. And so I think December will be 100% with our sounds too. So anyway, thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.